Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digiverse Divecast, the only Digimon podcast sponsored by Manscaped. Shave your balls for free.
Oh, okay.
What?
Didn't know we had one of those.
Yes, we do. So, obviously, this episode is going up on a Monday. I've decided to do something where I'm going to start releasing episodes early for patrons. So, you know, if you pledge $5 or above on the Patreon, you get to see access early. I figured this would be like a sneak peek. There's going to be bonus content. Like, this is obviously movie stuff. So I figure we'll make movies non-official episodes moving forward, and we'll lock that behind the Patreon because, like, you know, they're technically non-canon, so they don't have to be available to everybody and stuff like that. So, you know, this is just the first of that. Obviously, it's going to be released free as like a getting people in on the ground floor type of thing. But yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Whatever works.
Yeah. Retroactively, I will be removing the Our War Game episode and putting that behind the paywall as well.
That seems a bit draconian, but all right.
Bends the brakes. You gotta know how to run a podcast in this fucked up world. Yeah.
Okay, then. I don't really have the power to stop you on making decisions, regardless
That's
of how
true.
Bad I think they are.
I am the end-all be-all of decisions about this podcast. I'm your boss, technically. Isn't that fucked up?
When is my fucking pay, then?
Unpaid internship? Can we think about it like that?
I'm gonna go see if Millennium Microphone is hiring. Hang on.
No. We don't need any more crossover between these two shows. I don't want them finding out that I just ripped off their fucking format wholesale.
I literally went on one of their podcasts and be like, check out this thing. It is literally the same thing, format and all. They know.
Fuck. Well, whatever. One of these days, we're going to get them on this podcast. I think Carl literally already offered, but we are getting away from the actual topic at hand. We are going to be discussing the Digimon movie Summer Wars.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know if yours did this. My like
legally acquired copy
didn't come with like a Digimon prefix. It just said Summer Wars, which is weird because it's definitely a Digimon movie. So like, no. Not sure what that was about.
Yeah, I had the same issue. For whatever reason, I think like they started classifying it as like a standalone film because it's not directly related to any of the series, but it did come out at this point in the timeline. So I figured we'd just slot it in here.
Yeah, weird. It's like an Avmon situation, but it's even, like, less it's weird, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, like, they do have some, like, the designs in this movie are fucking incredible. Like King Cosmomon and Love Machine Mon are, like,
yeah, Love
top
Machine,
tier.
Yeah, Love Machine Mon is really fucking good.
All right, fuck it, drop the bit.
Did Love Machine Drummond actually like just break that for you?
That was so.
What?
No, nothing. It was fantastic. Love Machine Drummond. The new level 7 for the Machine Drummond line. Love Machine Drummond. Radical departure in the actual design philosophy of it. But you know what? It happens. Digimon.
Yeah. I was about to say, this literally is Digimon's MO. This would just happen. This would just fucking happen.
Turns from a giant mechanical dragon killing machine into a guy who's based off. Is he supposed to be the Buddha?
I think so.
I think
it's definitely
is.
Like a very monk type design. They went for with him,
and they have the you know the giant the. God, I don't know the exact origin of this, and I don't want to sound bad, so it's either, like, Hinduism or Buddhism, where it's, like, the halo is behind, like, the back.
Yeah.
I think that might be the origin of that specific, like, kind of halo design, but I don't know that for sure.
Which is,
do not quote me
on that. Which is definitely an interesting, because, like, a lot of the practices of those are meant to be more about, like, you know, tranquility and peacefulness, yet this thing causes nothing but fucking chaos the entire movie.
Yeah, so, all right, let's get, obviously, we're just talking about Summer Wars now, by the way. We watched Summer Wars, that's the whole thing, because it's a host of a movie, and it's not very similar, I shouldn't say that. It shares some similarities with Our War Game, like the baseline philosophy of the movie and like the core ideas of it are similar, not even exactly the same, similar to our war game.
There's definitely seen stuff. I will say there's definitely, like, having seen them, maybe the closest back-to-back I think I've ever done so.
Mm-hmm.
There are just scenes from our war game that are basically transported into this movie. Yeah. Like,
so
it's definitely, like, the core, like, there's definitely a lot of philosophies and themes that are, like, both shared and different, but there are just a couple of scenes where I'm like, that's effectively just a mirror of the Our War Game scene.
Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of people will talk about Summer Wars as, oh yeah, Hoseta made Our War Game again, which, sure, okay, like, fair enough, but also...
It is definitely very reductive, to put it like, yes. I do get it, you know, again... There is a lot, like, there is a lot that's similar between the two, but it's, you know, it feels a bit reductive, end of the day, to do so. I don't know.
No, absolutely. I am of the same opinion. Basically, what Summer Wars kind of, like, winds up being is, okay, 10 years after the fact, Hoseta was like, all right, I'm gonna take another crack at that idea, except this time I'm not gonna be restrained to 45 minutes in the Digimon property.
Yeah.
And what essentially resulted is one of the best goddamn animated movies ever made.
this
movie is good.
This is just my favorite movie. Just, mm-hmm. like, in general, like, I've seen this movie fucking, but how many watches of this had, I'm in double digits by now. There's no fucking way I'm not in double digits. This fucking movie by now.
I didn't think you'd watch it that much. Oh my god.
I like this movie like a lot. Like, it's really fun. I actually would maybe even say that in terms of like the pure like script and how each scene like contributes to the overall narrative and point, I might actually even say that like our war game is a much tightly constructed movie than Summer Wars is.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think the things this movie like shoots and hits for are just even like, all but like just conceptually and emotionally beyond what a war game even tried to do.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, like I would definitely agree. Like our war game is definitely a much more like compact and tightly paced package, but this movie just does so much more with the ideas. Like,
yeah,
it being triple the length, certainly, well, not quite triple the length, but almost triple the length, certainly helps. It's allowed to explore and do more stuff with them, and also just, you know, introduce a much bigger cast, have them do a lot more stuff like that, which I guess like the core philosophy of both movies is basically like, because obviously our war game is about Y2K. That's like pretty, yeah, blatant outright. And then Summer Wars is definitely about the, I guess, the over reliance or over dependence on like technology.
I think it is an interesting point to be made that this movie was made in like 2000, like it, well, it released in 2009. So yes, you can roughly estimate that the movie entered production and was being made at around like 2007, 2008-ish,
mm-hmm.
which was right at the advent of like Twitter and Facebook and like, yes, like YouTube had been there around for a couple, so like more like consolidated, so like platforms on the internet were already were basically at their genesis at this point, or like were like just starting to really take off.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than, I think, like, wait, let me check. Our war game was 1999 still, so it was still kind of looking ahead, but like,
yes,
this one I think looks even,
yes,
further ahead at like what, you know, these like, again, more consolidated platforms of like communication and how we handle things on the day-to-day and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely looking further ahead at like what the possible, like, perhaps even inevitable consequences of such progression might be.
Yes. This movie takes place, like, obviously it was made in 2008-2009. It, you know, came out in 2009. It takes place in 2019. So it takes place 10 years ahead of its actual release date. And there's a very interesting, I guess, predictions Hosoda made about how technology would evolve in the past 10 years that, he sure got some of it completely fucking correct, which is really weird.
I think maybe just not in context, and maybe think like it's obviously not like you know, he went very futuristic with this, which is just kind of like the way you have to like sometimes exaggerate things to make your point in these kinds of movies. And like obviously he didn't really go, he maybe thought a little too much of how far ahead we'd get in 2019, but he certainly got basically right what tech CEOs want things to be.
Yes, 100%.
Every dipshit tech billionaire who wanted to make the metaverse just wanted to make Oz.
Yeah, no, like exactly, literally exactly that. This is almost verbatim. Scientists have created torture nexus from a popular book. Do not create the torture nexus. It's like, man,
and it is really funny because. I do think what I like about Hosoda's take on this, because a lot of very dystopian fiction that deals with topics like this tends to just look at all the ways that these things suck ass, and you know, even Hosoda, like it's cautionary, but I like that he gets to this point by also being like, you know, there's a lot of good and a lot of convenience and stuff that comes out of a platform like Oz, the same way that, you know, he doesn't entirely deride the era of communication that the internet brought about in, like, our war game. Because it's like,
yes.
There's a good couple of examples. One of my favorite ones is Kazuma, the guy of that funny little rabbit avatar.
Yeah.
Like he got bullied a lot in school, but then his like uncle, I think it is, taught him martial arts through Oz, and like because of that, not only did Kazuma stop getting bullied, but he has a very strong bond and high respect for that particular uncle, even if he's not the most sociable like person with the rest of his family.
Yep, he still calls him master happened to this day,
and that all happens like because of Oz. So. Mm-hmm. It is like, you know, I'd say host of those movies, like in terms of both Our War Game and Summer Wars, definitely lean on the more cautionary side of this kind of technology. But he at least like acknowledges like in what ways these things would be beneficial to people.
Yeah.
Which I think makes these stories kind of strike a better balance that they really need to hit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, so much of this movie is just about, like, obviously, it is incredible to be able to do these kinds of things with the technology they have in the day. However, relying so heavily on this technology to the point where, when it gets interrupted, the fucking world breaks down is, like, you know.
And unfortunately, as frightening as it is, that is kind of where we ended up, isn't it?
Yeah, no, like, a big part of this movie is, oh, your account for this massive online hub was stolen. You can't get into literally anything anymore that requires any kind of internet connection. Which, you know, given how
everything much... Everything in this world requires an internet connection now.
Yep, and even just having one account that kind of masters a ton of accounts on other things, because like most stuff nowadays, like I'm guilty of it too, given the option I'm just gonna log in with my email. I don't want to make another account on a website. I'll just use the fucking Gmail to sign in, which is really bad, because if that Gmail gets compromised in any way, shape, or form, I'm gonna lose a ton of shit, and there's a ton of personal information that's getting stolen. Like, unfortunately, that's just for the sake of convenience, we are setting ourselves up to be completely decimated should something go wrong, which is really unfortunate. but and you know,
that's actually like really interesting too, because that is like that kind of like that kind of mix of like cautionary but like, you know, like not totally like doomerism, but definitely cautionary like analysis of like emerging technologies and stuff. That is actually, I would describe that as actually like very Digimon in a number of ways.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's the cautious optimism.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is really cool, but watch out.
Watch the fuck out.
You never know when a fucking AI developed by your dipshit uncle wanting to prove himself to the family and then selling it to the fucking US government.
Listen, I just wanted to make some money. I never thought that making a prototype AI and selling it to the United States, I didn't think that would cause anything bad to happen.
All I did was make an AI that has a desire to learn and then give it to the US government, the most trustworthy.
He's such a fucking dipshit. He's so bad.
Stupid. He's so goddamn stupid. He's so stupid, their grandmother tries to immediately kill him with a naginata the second she finds out he did this. Fucking god, what an idiot.
What is, yeah,
Wabisuke? That was his name, right?
Wabisuke, yeah, that was his name.
God. Yeah, we haven't really, like, we're not doing the play-by-play for this movie, because, like, a two-hour movie, I don't want to do a play-by-play for. And, like, the movie's just good. People just see it. We just want to talk about its ideas and its themes for people who have already seen it, or, you know, to get people interested.
Yeah, maybe, like, certain character moments and scenes, but generally speaking, kind of sticking to that sort of deal.
Mm-hmm. I do really enjoy the, like, ever-present Hanafuda stuff, because it becomes incredibly relevant at the end. Fucking
I. Because, you know, the Hanafuda, I don't know how to fucking play Hanafuda. They just kind of say a bunch of shit, and I'm like, yeah, sure, dude, fucking koi koi, I get it, hell yeah.
I sort of understand. I don't know, like, I know the rules of the game, I don't know the card combinations. Because, like, I know you know, you have your hand, there's the cards on the board, and by placing your card on top of another one, you can make card combinations that give you a certain number of points, depending on like how many of them you have of like a certain set. I cannot for the life of me ever remember what each like set and card, like how they go with each other, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last person who actually like does the koi koi wins the round and gets the point.
But I do always like forget that the Hanafuda stuff is actually, like, a lot more prevalent, and, like, because I guess first, just, you know, first-time experience kind of sticks with you the most, I feel. Mm. And I always remember the first time watching it, and, what the fuck's that Hanafuda? What are you doing? What's this? What the fuck is this? Where's Omnimon? What the fuck was this fucking card game they're playing?
When are King Cosma and the shitty little squirrel thing gonna fuse?
God, that's so funny. King Cosmo wanted to be the Omnimon in this movie so fucking bad, and he couldn't hack it.
I mean, he gets his cool upgrade where he grows blonde hair and gets covered in bandages. That's neat. Apparently, like, from what I could find, that form is called King Cosmo Ultra.
Fuck off. I do like how he just has, like, Kazuma's, like, actual hair in that form, though.
Yeah.
It's fun. The actual just like design aesthetic of this movie is fucking incredible, by the way.
Hosoda remains the single best person to design your digital world. His sense of aesthetic for this kind of thing is amazing. It's just perfect.
His aesthetic for us is so good. I'm pretty sure Cyber Sleuth just ripped that shit off wholesale, but you know.
100%. Also, like, I want to say that, like, I don't know if other things do this, but I'm pretty sure the first time I ever remember seeing it was our war game of like people in like a digital space being represented by having their line art be red. That fucking rules, by the way. Everyone should steal that. Everyone should steal that.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking.
Let me think. I really like Love Machine's like design.
Yes.
Like King Cosmo's a big one for many people. My favorite's it's either Love Machine or what's the girl's name again? Was it
Natsuki?
Natsuki. It was Natsuki, right? Yeah. Natsuki's avatar is like, that's such a fucking brilliant design.
It's really cute.
I really like how Love Machine still has like a lot of those fucking Diaboromon vibes while going for like a completely different aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Hungry for knowledge.
It even kind of does the whole evolving thing.
Oh yes, it does do that. I forgot all about that. Originally, it's Kenji's original stupid little shitty boy with mouse ears avatar.
One thing that I love about it too is that throughout every form, including like the big massive 400 accounts one, there's one thing that remains consistent about it: the design, the fucking grin.
Yes,
that big old, stupid shitty grin,
big old toothy smile. Love it every time.
It's still like absolutely just gorgeous on every front. Shout out to like the regular character designs, which are if I'm getting this name right, Yoshiyuki Sadamoto, who is known for a couple little things. Get rid of Genesis Evangelion.
You know what? That makes sense. Just looking at those character designs, I was like, oh yeah, that's very Evangelion.
If you look at the actual art he did, like, because obviously like they kind of went for like a bit of a Hosoda filter. Yeah. It's not like immediately obvious, but you look at like the actual like key art or something for Summer Wars, and it's like, okay, yeah, these are that guy. These are that guy's fucking designs.
Mm-hmm. Really, really good stuff.
I really like the Oz stuff obviously stands out more immediately, but I really like all the regular character designs because they really hit that nice like middle point of like these are like people designs, you know? Yes. Like these don't it's like obviously from the aesthetic these still look like anime characters, but their base aesthetics don't look like anime character designs, you know? These look like people.
Yeah.
But
these are your extended family.
Yes, but they still like each member still manages to be very distinct and memorable in their aesthetic. That like it really is just like, yep, that's the extended family. That's a guy I recognize. That's a fucking woman I recognize. Yep.
Yeah.
Rich, like really, all their really designs good. Including like the children and stuff and the older, like it fucking all of them work in LA. It's really crazy.
I do want to draw special attention, since we're talking about the extended family now, that Hosoda did in fact say ACAB throughout the entire movie. Because
yeah, the cop is such a dipshit. He's holy such shit. A fucking dumbass, and he never gets better.
No, he literally just causes problems and does not have any redeeming qualities whatsoever. He just sucks from start to finish. Fuck Shota. Fuck that dude.
I also like that Shota taking out the ice and bringing it to the grandma is effectively the Tai Chi blue screens the computer moment of this movie.
Very much so. Fucking dipshit.
I was so every time I cheer when fucking Kazuma just decks that fucking guy and breaks his nose.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so wonderful. Just like, yeah, every member of the, like, obviously there are members of the family that get a lot more attention. Like, obviously Wabisuke gets a lot more attention because he fucking made Love Machine in the first place, which he called this fucking thing Love Machine.
Why'd you call this Love Machine? I love that one character even goes, you mean like the song?
Yeah. Or... That had to have been what he named it after. I refuse to believe otherwise. Yeah.
But it was so cool named it. Fuck you, Wuggy's gay. Dumbass.
Yeah, like obviously he gets the most play out of the extended family. The uncle who taught Kazuma martial arts, his name I'm forgetting. He's like the only one that's like more prominent that I can't remember.
Yeah, he gets a decent bit.
Yeah, because you know, he's the one who brings the fishing boat that has like the massive generator to run the fucking supercomputer. I love that it's just like, yeah, why do you have this supercomputer? And he's like, well, we're out in the sticks, so the only people who actually shop at like electronics places are schools and the government.
So, you know.
I'm borrowing this.
And then the other guy is like, oh yeah, no, this is some military equipment. And then Kenji asks him, what? Oh, yeah, what part of the military do you even work at?
And he's like, haha, don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions you aren't prepared to hear the answers to. I'm so pretty... I choose to take Vin as... If he told Kenji, he would probably legally have to kill Kenji in response, so... You know.
He is 100% Special Forces, like, no doubt in my mind. But yeah, so, like, obviously, like I mentioned, we're not talking about, like, even the beginning of the movie, where it's, you know, Kenji basically just is wrapped up in having to pretend to be Natsuki's fiance.
Yeah. I like how that even that gets decided by like a rock fucking like literally there's like a line like at the start where they're like, man, you only got this because you won a rock, paper, scissors game. Fuck you, Kenji.
I mean, hey, it's a good thing Kenji was the one that got chosen. If it wasn't him, they'd all be fucking dead.
Literally, if Kenji lost the rock, paper, scissors game, a nuclear disaster would have happened.
Actual I do end like of the that world friend, scenario.
I do like that that friend doesn't just like disappear at the start, like from the start of the movie. He actually does get like a pretty reoccurring amount of screen time,
especially toward the end because he comes in for the assist. Funniest part he does by far is telling Kenji, "Oh yeah, by the way, 54 people solved the cipher. You weren't one of them. You got the last character wrong, dumbass."
Dipshit doesn't know English. He didn't catch that I wasn't meant to be a fucking cute.
Fucking idiot. I think the funniest part is the previous character was also a Q and he still got it wrong.
Yeah. He then has looked at those two Qs ending a fucking word. And I mean, it makes sense. He's a Japanese, like, student and that was, like, an English phrase, right? So... It actually does kind of make sense that he didn't catch it, but also, fucking dumbass, come on.
Can't believe you fucked it up. It's fine, he redeems himself by repeatedly solving a cipher of the same difficulty multiple times within the span of, like, 10 minutes.
Dude, okay, I know this is skipping to the end, but that bit where he, like, goes shonen mode on solving math equations and does it in his fucking head, as you can see... His fucking eyes bulging and his nose bleeding.
It rules. It's so cool.
I actually, you know, I always kind of considered Kenji like one of the weaker aspects of this movie because he's like, I was like, before I was kind of on it. I don't know. Something about him this time kind of clicked with me. I felt like I actually quite like him as a protagonist for this movie.
Yeah, he takes a very passive role for like, the first half, even more of the movie, basically until everyone finds out until the news starts reporting anyway that he's the one who cracked the cipher, he doesn't really do much. It's really just like him seeing the rest of the family and how they are and like trying to fit into this scenario that he is in no way equipped to handle.
He even doesn't like a scene that really got to me and a scene that actually made me like him a lot more is that that scene where he like, you know, he thanks the grandma for letting him in because he like, you know, his dad's always like abroad for his work, I think he said. And then his mom's very busy. So he usually hit him on his own. And that kind of makes a lot of that earlier bit where he's really trying to adjust to what the fuck's going on. Like, I don't know. It makes it all work.
And then I especially love the the contrast between the two like full-blown dinner scenes that Kenji is involved with, where during the first one, like, everyone's going around introducing themselves, they start passing around food to each other, and he is very much in like that, like, oh my god, what do I even do style thing. And then the second time around, like, he's actively participating, he's grabbing food for himself, they're handing him food, it's fantastic. It's so
good. There's a little detail that they literally, like, obscure, like, they make you, like, look out for this, because they kind of hide him behind a screen or something,
mm-hmm.
where when I forget his name, but, like, you know, the baseball, like, player.
Oh,
Where they're looking at, like, Ryohei's game, and they like announced that he won semis, I think it was.
Yeah. The first game they see him play is the semis.
He's actively, like, cheering with them when they find out he won.
It's great. He just kind of meshes with them almost immediately. It takes him a second to get used to that. And of course, the whole being outed as a potential digital terrorist.
Yeah. My kind of grandma doesn't even really care that much about that.
Yeah, no. Like, she's not even the one who, like, she really just is very just, like, sitting there while everyone else is, like, yelling at him to get out, and eventually, like, he gets arrested, because all things considered, like, as far as they're all concerned, he did, in fact, commit a pretty egregious crime.
International incident tier cybercrime is pretty fucking serious, like...
I love that even though he wasn't one of the ones that solved the cipher, he's still the one that gets blamed because Love Machine stole his avatar specifically.
You know how we talked about, like, how Diaboromon just really had it fucking out for, like, Tai Chi and Koshiro specifically for some reason?
Yeah.
Love Machine! Fucking! What did Kenji ever do to this fucking thing?
You know what? I bet it was because he got the last character wrong. Love Machine's like, this fucking little idiot.
Get ready, you little bitch. He got so close and then fucked up the queue at the end? Come on. I'm gonna fucking... If everything else fails, I'm gonna make sure he suffers regardless. Fuck him.
It's so good. It's so wonderful. God.
I'm trying to think of just, like, things from this movie I want to talk about. Because there's just, like, a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Oh god. Well, don't get too excited. We gotta save some of the discussion for the second half of the video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I just also really like how the family stuff and the internet, because it's like it's not necessarily that, like, the family stuff and the metaverse stuff, basically. Like, I feel like that on base sounds like you're just kind of watching two separate movies that, like, happen to kind of coexist. But, like, mm-hmm. I really like how those two end up intersecting with each other, and how, like, the value of, you know, just communication and, like, just
yes.
being there for one another, even when the major overarching system that is, like, governing most of the communication, like, effectively goes down. It's, mm-hmm. like, people just fucking talking to each other and being there for each other, like, that's what matters, and that's what can overcome even something as existentially terrifying as that.
Mm-hmm.
And just how that gets, like, constantly reinforced throughout the movie for, like, The fucking scene where the grandma calls up, like, everyone.
Yes, I was about to talk about this scene specifically, because that, like, that might be my favorite scene in the movie, is the grandmother calling all of her connections and being like, get your ass in gear. Like,
yeah.
It's like, we can still communicate like this, fucking start doing it. And, like, she has all her books of the numbers she wrote down. It's like, obviously, if you can't access your accounts, who knows? Like, obviously, this is, like, in a super extreme version where, like, I guess even, like, their address books are just fucked because they're contained within Oz or something. Or, like, you know, maybe just cell service in general doesn't work.
I mean, you know how it goes. Like, do you have all the numbers written down? No, you have a little list on your phone.
Hell no. I don't remember anyone's number. I remember my own number. That's it.
Yeah. So, like, no, even that bit I would consider, like, fairly, like, you know, extreme, but not impossible, really.
Yeah. Like, if we somehow lost access to, or, like, our contacts, fuck it. I'd be doomed. I could literally contact nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, very, very much, like, really, like, continuously reinforcing this idea that, yeah, the ability to communicate the way we do over the internet is super awesome and cool. But, for the
have
love
backup,
of God,
maybe.
Yeah, like, still talk to each other normally. It's important. Send letters. They're nice.
They are. Yeah. Another scene that really, like, kind of reinforced that is, like, the scene before the Hanafuda game where, like, the way they work this out is, like, you know, Natsuki eventually breaks Wabisuke's, like, fucking phone password, calls him up,
yes.
And then they just kind of sit around the table and, like, talk about how they're gonna get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, it's so, like, damn, it's...
This movie is just really good. It's just so good.
It's just
good.
All works together so fucking well.
So wonderful.
I like, love, by the way, that, like, Wabisuke's trying to... He's trying to be, like, the villain of this movie, effectively. He's trying to... You have that scene where like, the family's, like, eating under a nicely lit table, and then he's off to the other side of the room,
yeah.
And, like, dimly lit, drinking his fucking beer. He's like, oh, I'm so fucking... I'm not like the rest of this family. I'm so fucking different and cool.
I'm
about this fucking phone password is his great-grandmother's fucking birthday number.
He's such a little bitch. He wanted to impress her so bad.
He wanted to impress her so fucking bad.
And he fucked it all up. God. I think so. Like, if I had to pick a point of this movie that's, like, not even weak, but, like, the weakest point of this movie, it's probably, like, the romance angle between...
I was literally about to ask you
yeah.
about that, yeah.
Because, like, it's fine.
Yeah,
like, this movie's about something way more important and different, so, like, it doesn't necessarily come off this way, but... On some level, it's just kind of like an obligation.
Yeah, obligatory. It was
yeah.
I was gonna go. Yeah,
it's like okay, right. It's the male lead with the female lead, and they get into the situation stuff, and then they wind up liking each other because of the Ascension Bridge effect, et cetera, et cetera.
I definitely also think I wish Natsuki herself got maybe like. Not even a whole lot more play, just like a little bit more.
Yeah, at least before her big the Hanafuda game.
Yeah, her big like Hanafuda game at the end and like her calling up Wabisuke and stuff, I think does a lot of carrying, but I don't know. I feel like just one or two more things in this movie she could have been involved with would have been nice, but also like this movie is fucking is a tightly packed fucking movie.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I get it, that's like difficult to even attempt to break into that.
There is no actual downtime in this movie at all. It is constantly moving. Like, the
yeah.
only downtime is the very purposeful downtime, like, you know, when the grandmother passes away. And which, right, so, I guess it's,
yeah.
it's fair to point out it's Wabisuke's fault the grandma dies.
I...
Kind of. Tangentially,
kind of.
Yeah. Because he made the AI, but it is the U.S. government that, like, just releases it into Oz for fun.
It's also worth pointing out that, yes, that system made her die at that moment, because they, like, monitor her at that
yeah.
time. But as, like, as someone with family members who've had very similar conditions before they passed away, and even, like, the doctor of the family points this out, it's like, you're
yeah.
prolonging this by, like, days at a certain point.
Mm.
Like, it made it happen right then and there, but realistically speaking, the fact that it got to that point meant there was not a lot of time left.
Yeah.
He even, like, points out the shit she was having to, like, take just to, like, keep going, and it's like, oh, that is, like, you're at, you're, like, you're fucking the last laps of your fucking life. So it's like tragic, but ultimately it was like a bit of a, like, it was going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
He even points out, like, we might have gone there in time. It might have also just been her time.
Oh.
At that moment anyway. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest takeaways from, like, that and the stuff is that, like, the biggest villains of this movie are cops and the U.S. government.
Yeah!
Which is hilarious, because I'm not even lying. That's just actually true.
That's just, yeah, no, that's just the thing. Like the end of the movie, it's been fucking broadcast where they're just like, yeah, the United States government has a couple things to answer for to everyone fucking else.
They sit there and they're just like, we didn't think unleashing an AI that was literally programmed with a desire for knowledge would be a problem. We just unleashed it into
the most important fucking internet telecommunications platform on the fucking planet.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
Also,
man, Oz needs a fucking better protective service. A fucking cipher that, like, a kid who's a high school kid who's just really good at math can fucking, like, crack? Come on.
Yeah, that's kind of absurd. Like, the fact that it was behind one layer of encryption, apparently, is, like, insane. Which, you know what? Fair enough. Sony stored their bullshit in fucking plain text. So, you know.
It's not unrealistic, as it turns out, because I'm now remembering the lack of layers of encryption that are on basically any social media platform. So, yeah, fair go, whatever. Yeah.
It's like, there are so many things that he just predicted. The fact that Hosoda's prediction for all tech CEOs in the future are going to be useless dipshits was just, like, spot on. Like, incredible that he was just like, yeah, no, they're all dumbasses who are, like, not going to take the precautions they need.
This movie might actually just be better now than it was when it first came out.
I honestly think so. Also incredibly funny where it's like, people are still using flip phones in the year of our Lord 2019, which I know in Japan, they used flip phones for a very long time after, like, the US and Europe moved on from them, but I don't think they lasted all the way to 2019.
Also, things that are apparently still in style in 2019, the Nintendo DSi.
That could have been the 3DS.
Nope, there was no control stick on that bitch, it was just a D-pad. That was a DSi.
The DSi had, like, just come out. He had faith in that thing. That was gonna be a juggernaut.
My favorite bit is when people, like, when, like, the uncle starts, like, fighting Love Machine with his fucking DSi, yeah. And I'm like, motherfucker, I can't play Mario 64 on this thing properly. How are you doing this kind of, like, elaborate fucking, like, detailed 3D movement on the D-pad? Fuck off!
The entire family is just incredible gamers.
There's literally a point where, like, the fucking, like, free, like, rescue worker / fireman are, like, yeah, we've been gaming for, like, 30 fucking years.
Yeah, that's right! He says, only one, like, don't underestimate 30 years of gaming experience. So funny. Oh my god, this movie's so fucking good!
I want to quickly shout out to a bit of, like, set design that I really like for a very, like, specific and personal reason.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking room where Kazuma, like, hangs out to play his fucking, play Oz's King Kazuma.
Yeah.
While the rest of, like, the fucking birthday and stuff's going on. That's exactly the kind of room I would just, like, hide in during family gatherings to go watch, like, YouTube videos on the fucking family computer.
Oh, absolutely. It's, like, a very small room. Like, my aunt has, like, has a very large house. Like, it's a three-story, and, like, the upper floor is, like, it's two bedrooms with, like, a small, like, sitting room in the middle, but it has a closet that they used for storage that was, like, a fairly sized closet, like, a fairly sizable closet they would use for storage of, like, just random stuff, like, board games, books, and all that kind of stuff. And that was my go-to, that large closet. It was, like, it was slightly smaller than his room, but I was like, oh my god, yeah, it had, like, the slope ceiling, it was, like, it was smaller, it was compact, it had stuff in it. I was like, yeah, no, this is where I would go immediately.
Yeah, exactly. My grandparents' place had like a very similar room where it's like it's like filled with like closets with like books in them and stuff or like other random garbage. It was very small room. The family computer was a bit shit, which is I think also what Kazuma was working with at the time, but
probably. I love that, like, when they get the supercomputer, it's not even really to help, like, it's to help Kazuma, because, like, he winds up being faster because of the higher processing speed, but the reason they needed that was so they could implement their giant fucking plan to, like, overwrite the entirety of the Oz Central area with that, like, fucking castle trap.
Yeah, which also be thinking, what supercomputer can overload this entire, the main hub of the
military grade, baby.
Also, we're finding out that for very important maintenance with very secure information, they're handing this out to teenagers who are working on this part time during their summer.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, no problem. Easy.
I also, I just now remembered a scene that a little line that I really like is. Kazuma going, these LCDs have really shit response timing. Yes. You got like a nice like big CTR, which is true. LCDs response timing, especially at the time, was fucking dog shit.
Yes, he specifically asked for an HD CRT because he needs the higher or the lower response time. It's so good. It fucking rules. I remember seeing that line and being like, oh, that's true.
That's how that works.
It's so good. God, I had this is totally unrelated, but like, well, it's related, but like, I love it when like media does this, where like clearly someone who knows what they're talking about is like involved in the project. There was an episode of Pokemon Horizons recently, where Dot's like the streamer in the chip, and like her whole audio setup blows up. And so she asks Liko to go get her a mic, and she specifies it needs to be a cardioid condenser microphone. Make sure that's what you get. And I was like, yes, yes!
Do not get me that fucking USB shit. I don't want 50 layers of background noise.
It's so good. I remember like taking a screenshot and being like, oh, she's right! That's what you would want! It's so good.
I know she even says, script for these. Yeah. I need to check who it is. You go on your thing while I look for it.
She even specifies a unidirectional cardioid condenser, not like omni or bidirectional. I was like, yes, awesome, let's fucking go. That is exactly the kind of thing she would actually be looking for. It's so good. Fucking love it.
Okay. So the writer for this movie is a woman called Satoko Okudera, who doesn't really do a lot of anime outside of like Hosoda stuff. She's just kind of a real ass like movie script writer, kind of like screenplay writer kind of person.
Huh. I should watch her actual movies.
Like that's probably why I haven't. Like, I'm gonna be frank. I like Hosoda a lot as like a visual director, but a lot of his more recent movies in terms of like their scripts have not really been like hitting me since Wolf Children.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I get that.
Well, that explains things. Wolf Children was the last script she wrote for a Hosoda film. She wrote like this Girl Who Looked for Time and Wolf Children, and then I guess stopped collaborating with him.
Oh, wow.
Which explains a lot to me, but, you know, that's besides the point. Extremely good scriptwriter. Hosoda clearly, if nothing else, does a lot of research on this kind of, like, you know, on these kinds of topics and has a lot of thoughts about their progression into the future, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he directed two movies about this, like, clearly, this is something he thinks about a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, he basically did a third with Bell.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, it's also about like a big that one. a lot of people really love. I'm a lot more mixed on. I think it's, again, it's a script issue for me where I think it's a very messy film compared to both this and even our war game, I would say. But and like the message about sort of the internet, you know, like internet and like progression of technology, I don't think is as strong in that movie as it is in the other two, but that's, again, besides the point. Yeah, so, like you know, I like to give a lot of credit to, like, the screenwriters and stuff, because I feel like a lot of the praise for Hosoda movies just goes to Hosoda, and there's not a, like, thought behind the other people writing this, like, behind these movies. But just for this one in specific, I do kind of think, like, okay, yeah, this, like, the sort of prescient thoughts and, like, knowledge, like, active knowledge on technology and stuff like that, I think I'm pretty safe to, like, attribute to Hosoda, just because this has been prevalent and actively really, like well done and accurate in two movies otherwise written by two different people. So when he's the common denominator, I do feel like
pretty safe bet.
Pretty safe in, like, giving that credit to him.
Yeah. Well, we've been going for almost an hour, shockingly.
Jesus.
Yeah. So we're going to take a small break to talk about the sponsor for this video. So I'll run the ads. And then we'll come back and keep discussing. Are you fucking tired of having hair on, like, your body at all? Well, Manscaped has the product for you. Manscaped's new product, the hair exterminator for your balls. It works anywhere. They threw balls in the name of the thing because it's funny. Fucking buy it, you chump. Please continue to sponsor us. I really need the money. I like, things are getting kind of bad right now, and I just don't really. All right, and welcome back, lovely patrons. You just watched the advertisement for Manscaped, the sponsor of today's video. Anyway, Momo, you were kind of quiet for the first half of this. You have any thoughts about Summer Wars?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
But okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
So, Summer Wars is my favorite Digimon movie.
This is true.
Yeah,
that's the classic meme, right? You know, you funny jokes, jokes.
Yeah, of course. Everyone knows the classic meme.
We definitely did not dispel an illusion 5 minutes into the episode.
So, you know, it's like I'm very half on half on that meme, you know.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, he just made our war game again, and like, okay, obviously there's a lot of like plot beats and shit that are like very similar to our war game. Like, it like does such a massive disservice to how good that movie is.
Very, like, very true.
Like, it's like, okay, it's like okay. There's the fucking, like, love machine is just Diaboromon, and, like, you know, the satellite is just the nuke. But like. All, like, the real meat in that movie is the fucking family drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, like, the entire first half of the movie.
There's definitely a couple scenes you can bring parallels up to, like, the guy, like, you know, putting in the math equation at the last minute is a lot, like literally, like, almost shot for shot,
the,
like,
email Izzy bin.
Sending, like, Koshiro sending all the emails and stuff, like, that's definitely a pretty big part of it. I don't know. I really get the sense that, like, there's this kind of theme that I have been thinking about in the 5 minute ad break, and definitely no longer period of time that these could have taken place between. Mm-hmm. Don't worry if I sound any different either. By the way, it's none of your fucking concern. There's like this theme of, like, sort of like the past versus, like, not ver- like sort of balancing the past and the present in a way, where it's like trying to not be too beholden to things in the past, because there's like There's like a couple of characters, including like Wabisuke, who are like very stuck in like sort of things that happened in the past or like the family lineage or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's literally like the letter from the grandmother where she's like, just have a quick burial.
Take what he wants.
Yeah, just have a quick burial. Don't like spend too long fucking mourning me. Like you know. Like it is like not like so much a condemnation of the past as it's like, you know, there's lessons you take from that shit, but like also, you know, you have to move on and look ahead, which kind of works hand in hand with like the movie's whole philosophy on like the future and like, you know, the consolidation of technology and the advancement of technology, where it's like both exciting and like scary, and there are like threats that need to be kept in mind. So there's a lot of like really interesting balancing with both looking ahead and looking back and like seeing both the good and the bad sides of both things. And I kind of wonder if like, because there's like interviews with Hosoda where he very much views his like work with Toei in like a different light to like his work after he left and started just making like his own original property movies. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder if this movie taking so many things from our war game is like him kind of doing that thing that the movie is talking about, where it's like, he's like, you know, he's taking things from his, like he's not ignoring his past. He's not just looking ahead at his future. He's like looking back at things and like, you know, taking important lessons and like things he can work with from that and using them to advance his career, basically. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's also like something like, because basically some of that shit is also just stuff he clearly wanted to show off in our war game, but our war game's 30 minutes.
Our war game's like a 45 minute movie that is in fact beholden to both a property and a particular story that he had only had a couple of previous involvements with.
Yeah.
As funny as that bit is, the bit that also just immediately jumps out is the part that, like, you know, when it's cutting to like random stuff getting messed up because Diaboromon is messing around the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just the lady just mindlessly saying, yeah, that'll be like 10 billion yen. Wow, that's expensive. Paper and plastic.
Those scenes, like, I mean, like, you know, like, our war game's still pretty, like, hey, this is actually kind of fucked up. But I think our war game plays a lot more for laughs than Summer Wars does. Summer Wars does maybe, like, deal with the more dire consequences of such events than our war game does.
What if you hacked Biden's Twitter account, you got the launch codes? That's basically what happens.
I really like that they're like, yeah, you could possibly hack a president's Oz account and get the nuclear launch codes, which would probably, for some people, raise the question, why the fuck would they keep the launch codes in, like, a public, like, social media platform? But honestly, world leaders are fucking stupid like that. Yeah, that can happen. I believe it.
I always took it as, like, Oz is, like, just such, like, a, like, that thing is, like, integrated into, like, everything digitally. Yeah.
There's a popular, I believe it's called social engineering. It's a very popular trick where you literally just say you are someone and have any small amount of proof and people will just fucking believe you and give you whatever you want. So like, I could see this fucking happening.
Something as major as like what an Oz account would represent in that like world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking believable.
It's like, yeah, no, like, this is obviously me. See, here's my Oz account. And I'm just like, well, you must be that. Here's the nuclear launch code, sir.
God bless the United States of America.
Said in this movie, it's dropping a satellite on a dog.
That dog knew they had it out for him.
It is so funny that when they're just like, oh god, he's retargeted a satellite, it just zooms in on the dog before quickly.
I like, you remember like the, you remember one of the family members, I think it's like one of the firefighters, he had like a dog-shaped robot that was a firefighter.
Oh my god, that's right, I forgot all about
that. I like
that.
To think he really liked that dog. I don't know if you went into that, but that's probably my favorite part of the movie, is just everyone's avatar, like,
Yeah, I think
you just have a group shot. Like, you spend enough time with the family that, like, near the end when you see that group, like, just the, everyone's avatars, you know immediately which ones is which based on the shit you've learned about them.
Yeah. I think we might have mentioned that, but yeah, no, it's like the fucking the shitty cop cousin has like that stupid ass monkey avatar.
Like, or something. It's like a little like ferret with the Kamina glasses and a cop hat.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, of course, that's what your fucking avatar is, you stupid asshole. Like, fuck you.
Or like the really condescending lady who I think like she like her bit was like she married into the family, right?
Yeah.
But she, yeah, like she's... the I love yeah, she married into the family, but she's also treating Kenshi like an outsider.
Yep.
Okay. But like, or like her, like the way she acts is like, oh, of course, her avatar is like the mouse girl or whatever in the tube dress with the lipstick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just very like very glammed up, clearly enjoying her new lifestyle. Or the the uncle whose name, like, I don't know why I forget his name.
Master.
Yes, Master. Him
who's
having,
a,
like,
who's
the,
a ninja squid.
Yeah, the ninja squid. It's really, really good. It's so the visual design aspects of this movie are like fucking phenomenal. Everything works. It's perfect.
I think all the major ones are like on like this version of the poster.
Yeah.
Like the guy in the cowboy hat's the computer dude.
Mm-hmm.
What I really like about it is just that like both visual aesthetics of the movie, despite being so vastly different, end up actively complementing each other in a way where there's so many things about this movie that should effectively make it feel like two separate movies entirely, and they end up in really unconventional ways, like feeding into each other, like super perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think helps, like just I don't know if the, it probably would still work if he wasn't in the movie, but probably Kazuma, probably, because like you look like it's like that's not even like a secret for long, like basically as soon as fucking it's like not long after fucking Kenji meets him, he finds out Kazuma's King Kazuma.
Yeah
and again, literally, like the second Kazuma design, King Kazuma design, just has Kazuma's hair. That's his fucking big upgrade. It's really funny.
He gets all the bandages too, which is cool as shit.
And that's like a third one. He goes to like three.
Yeah, that's.
I think,
I'm pretty sure
I think at
he
the very
gets
end,
the
he has like a big scar on his face.
Mm.
I think he only gets the bandages after Love Machine already has beaten the fucking piss out of him.
Yeah,
but...
probably. And that's after he gets beaten the shit out of and before Love Machine absorbs him, thus gaining the bunny ears, which is the funniest part of that. Because when...
Oh, so menacing.
When Love Machine has amassed the 400 million accounts or whatever it is, it's like just this giant shadow mass that's a bunch of like squirming like avatars, and then he absorbs King Kazuma and grows bunny ears.
Still got that smile, though.
Of course. Very important. Oh, God.
Oh
yeah. So something I forgot to mention before the ad break was Momo. Me and you discussed this during our actual like watching of it.
Yeah.
Even
like the like obviously because that the fucking the cousin playing baseball.
Yo,
he's never actually there until the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But like every time, like something like a major moment in the story happens, they'll usually cut back to the TV, and it's like. Here comes the satellite's about to drop, and then it cuts to the TV. And it's like, oh, things not looking good for the team. They're cracking under the pressure.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the finals that they're at, which I think is like the fucking like it's I think it's like the national. Are they at nationals or are they at like the pre-nature?
I think so.
Yeah, but like they're in the finals for it, and like. Because like the finale like keeps going, like they win and then something else happens and it's like they didn't actually win yet. The baseball game goes in at like the 15th.
Oh no,
inning,
it's like it's multiple games.
Well, no, the final game when they're at the finals during the finale of the movie, the final game winds up going into the 15th inning because of how many times during like the final conflict they seemingly win and then something happens and they have no longer won. Like, she's winning at Hanafuda to the point where she has like 100,000 accounts, And then she makes a mistake and it drops back down to 70 something. And that's when, you know, they cut back to the baseball game and the score, it's like bottom of the ninth. And the score is like the opposing team's like one run ahead. And then they get all the accounts and it winds up like it keeps going back and forth to where like by the end of it, they're all like almost about to collapse and they've gone six extra innings in the baseball game.
I also forgot that they felt the need to justify why they gave her like a power up.
Yeah.
It's yeah. a lucky item from the whales.
You know what the baseball game shit actually reminds me of from our war game? Of all things, it's Joe's fucking exam. Like,
oh yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, ending right as the fucking nuke is about to hit Taichi and Koshiro.
5 seconds. God.
That's what that like I was like, that's a bit more. It's like that and fucking Taichi's fucking mom's
The cake she's baking, yeah.
The cake that fucks up.
Yeah, this movie is basically just like, it takes a bunch of stuff from our war game that was very much, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and just like really builds upon it and fleshes it out more. Just like the ideas of, oh, there's a bunch of parallel things happening during this time limit countdown where, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't check while we were watching this because, you know, me and Mom were watching it together and I didn't want to constantly pause and go back. But I'm very curious if they did the same thing in some words they did in our war game, where once the countdown hits a certain point, there was exactly that much amount of time in the finale before it stops. Because I think it was the 5 minute mark in our war game where exactly 5 minutes after it shows the timer is when they kill the Aboramon, like to the second.
Shit. Hang on. I think I can check that while you guys talk about someone else. Do you want to maybe talk about?
Let's see. What other fantastic things are in this movie? I think we didn't even... know, go ahead.
The what's like a moment I think is really, really fucking good.
Hmm.
I don't know, maybe I misread what the grandma says, mm-hmm. but like when it's like the flashback with her and Wabiuska, I took that as like he's adopted.
So
what happens is that she is the illegitimate like.
Oh wait, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the illegitimate like child of. The great grandfather messing around with someone, I assume, way younger, because that's just, you know.
Ah, that was it.
That's just how it.
Yeah.
Josuke. Fucking Josuke. Like, but then she decided, despite that, that she would still, like, properly adopt him into the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, classic born of a mistress style.
It's like, obviously, you kind of get the implication of that, like, with how nice she is to Kenji immediately, but it's like, this isn't like a fucking, exclusive's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like a fucking boarded up family that's impossible to get into, just be a, you know, good person.
Yeah, at least the grandmother is very accepting of people from the outside. And most of the family seems to be as well.
A lot of them are dickheads, but at the end of the day, you know, they all step up, they help out.
With the exception of Shota, fuck him. He doesn't help once this entire goddamn movie. You know, except for at the very end.
He stole my fucking eyes.
I find it so funny. That's the blue screen moment.
Yeah.
It's like you're overheating, or what?
How?
I feel bad for the computer guy. He probably got like some nasty burn when he opened that door.
Yeah, he did get hit by that fucking backdraft.
Although in retrospect, someone should have probably been watching that fucking computer. The computer, just in case, you know.
Maybe.
Unless you're a massive supercomputer you just left in the room without telling anyone else about that. Like, you know, someone might have gone a mess with that. There's like five fucking little shit children around, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, Shota was watching it. He just stole all the ice because, I mean, you know.
To be fair, it was pretty intense.
See, I don't think they were assuming anyone would be stupid enough to steal all the ice from the fucking room. But alas.
I also... I assume they also closed the doors because, like, it was a hot summer day. Keep the fucking sun off that thing.
Mm-hmm. As stated previously.
Okay. I checked, by the way. The kind of doesn't really follow, like, damn, that kind of
time. I kind of assume that'd be the case because, like, obviously, like,
they're working from much wider range of time and all.
Yeah, War Game is, like, a much shorter movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's also, like, 20 minutes in Summer Wars.
Yeah, so. Yeah. At most, like, I think, like, maybe the last 2 minutes, it's pretty spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the last, like, 2 minutes are pretty much, like it gets, like, 2 minutes on the counter, and it's pretty much, like, 2 minutes before they, like, stop it. But, yeah.
I always love it when they attempt to do things like that. It's fun.
I will say, I think I kind of mentioned this before, but I do think actually watching these movies as close to each other as we did actually made me appreciate our War Game a lot more than I used to. Mm-hmm. Because before I was like, yeah, that's the cool thing, but it's also just kind of, you know, it's just, you can also just watch Summer Wars, and it's like, no, I think now it's looking back, I think our War Game has a lot more of its own merit than I would give it credit for, besides just being prototype Summer Wars. And also, in a weird, even though I think this movie shoots for a lot more, I think our War Game is actually the more tightly written and paced movie.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's just a consequence of it being so much shorter, that, like, they almost had to more tightly pace it. But I do feel like because, like, I'm, like, Summer Wars is definitely, like, more loosely paced, but I feel like that's to the movie's benefit in a lot of ways as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, another way that, like, those movies do actually distinguish from each other in a way that benefits both of them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, because, like, we've barely talked about the first half of this movie. Like,
yeah.
How Kenji even winds up, because, like, he's just doing, like, small maintenance work with his friend on Oz.
Yeah, like, the setup is, like, a minute long. It's really funny.
He's doing maintenance work. Natsuki, who they both barely know, like, enters the room, and she's just like, hey, I need one of you to do me a favor. Come with me to my family home.
You know that also, like, she picked these two because, like, these are the fucking dipshit nerds. I can fucking ring both of them around my finger if I want to. This is gonna be, I can get them for this, like, so fucking easy. Whatever.
100%, yeah. Or rather, she says, do you want some part-time work? And they're both, like, they're like, we're doing part-time work right now.
We're doing it right now.
And then as she's leaving, she's like, man, I was gonna invite you to my home for the summer. And they immediately play rock, paper, scissors. Well, they immediately start arguing over who's going, and it turns out they played rock, paper, scissors to see who won, and it was Kenji. Because they get to go to a girl's house.
I also really like how, as they're, like, taking the trip to the house, Kenji meets more and more of the family members, like, incidentally, as they're all obviously traveling to the same place, and that's how they kind of give you the exposition on, like, the family's, like, history and structure and such.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really liked that way of, like, delivering that information to the viewer. I thought it was, like, really well done. It's also very, like, brief. Like, it's not a huge, like, sit-down or anything. It's less than 2 minutes, and it's just, yeah, okay, you know the gist of it.
Yeah. That's also the sequence we learned that Kenji was almost a, Olympic math participant, whatever the fuck it was called, like a mathlete.
Yeah, math Olympic.
Yeah.
So he's really good at math.
Like, I almost won it.
I almost won it, though. It was almost me, though.
No, he says, no, like, because people go, wow, that's crazy. And he goes, yeah, I didn't win, though.
Yeah.
I didn't get in.
I think there's multiple points where, like, Natsuki's like, that's a math Olympic competitor for you, and it's like, almost.
Almost.
Almost. And it's so funny that, like, that is really his only character trait for the first half of this movie. He is just, he's a guy, he's good at math.
He's a bit nerdy, very anxious.
Yeah, just like, you know, he's a typical nerd. Like, literally the baseline for he is a nerd. He's awkward, he's anxious, he's good at math. Those are the three things about Kenji that are important. We'll flesh out the rest of his bullshit in the second half of the movie, and they don't even really do that for the most part. and it still works. Because the movie's not about Kenji.
Yeah, I that is actually something I have seen multiple times brought up throughout, like as a criticism towards Summer Wars, because it's like where it's like no character individually is that like particularly deep, I guess, if you know what I mean. Like no,
that's not really the point of the movie though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more about like fitting within the like it's like you're not. You're not really supposed to take, like, one individual character as, like, the fucking protagonist of the story or something. It's more just about, like, fitting into, like, a cohesive whole.
Yeah, finding your place.
Like, it is literally about the family as a whole.
But, yeah. This is probably why, like, to me, the romance is, like, the one bit about this movie that I thought was particularly weak, because that is meant to be about two individuals, which the rest of the movie isn't really about, so... I feel like that's the only bit where I'm like, that doesn't really fit in with what the rest of the movie's trying to do. And it ends up kind of weak as a result. But like, just like.
That's the only thing, like, well, you know, for it's fine for what it is and it does its job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a huge criticism. Just one of those where it's like, yeah, that's like because of the like basic philosophy of the movie. That's like the one thing where I'm like, eh, don't really think that worked the way they wanted it to.
I do like it for at least from the angle of like, because basically Kenji's in there for to basically play alive, but then he's like, he basically becomes like as cool as Natsuki describes him as.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me think. Although I will say, like, yeah, no individual character necessarily is the deepest thing, because again, it isn't a point. But also, like, the grandma is the best character in the movie, and that, like, that's not even a contest.
It's kind of, how do you compete with her?
Yeah, like, damn. She fucking, when, like, the bits of the movie she's in, she fucking steals the show each time.
Yeah. Like, I mentioned before, my favorite scene of this movie is absolutely her going into that room with all of the fucking address books and calling every single acquaintance she has to make them start doing their fucking jobs.
The bit that always gets me is like, maybe that fucking useless son's degree of yours will be useful now.
Yeah. It's so funny. She rules.
When your friend's son has a liberal arts degree.
Hey, I have a liberal arts degree. Fucking.
Yeah?
And it's exactly as useless as you think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. It's only an associate's. I need to go back.
I also like the grandma scene is probably like just the best scene. The thing that the one bit in this movie that like guaranteed makes me fucking bawl like a little fucking child whenever it happens is like. During the Hanafuda, big Hanafuda game at the end, when fucking they've got like, what was it, 74 accounts left?
With the little guy popping up, just take
the little guy. The little guy was like, turns out to be like a little kid from Germany or something. Who's like, please take my
account. little German boy.
He's like, please take my account. Just like that fucking bit always fucking gets to me, dude.
It's really good.
It's that bit again where Hosoda's like, you know, he's very cautious and very like, hey, there's a lot of concerns about this type of technology, but he like, you know, he thinks about a lot, but then also like that moment,
it brings people together.
It brings people together, but would like, if it wasn't for Oz, there's no way that little fucking German boy would have reached out to an otherwise completely Japanese family like that.
Yeah.
There's no way he would have been able to deliver that kind of gesture to them.
Mm-hmm.
I love how this movie like strikes these types of balances. It's so good.
It is just wonderful. The kind of message it conveys about, you know, being cautious about being so heavily reliant on technology for everything, but also it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Check out this Nintendo DSi.
Everyone's got their DSIs hooked up to the internet.
Listen, I understand that the DS browser was a pretty insane piece of software for the time. Don't think I think it can do that though. I don't know.
I wanna know how excited Hosted was for the 3DS.
Oh, for some reason that just reminded, because you know everyone's still using flip phones because, you know, 2009.
Except what Bisuke, who has a really blatantly like first or second gen fucking iPhone in 2019, but whatever.
Yeah. There was one character who had not the sidekick, but it was like a similar thing where it's like it was the phone that slid up, like you slid the screen upward to reveal the keypad, but then you could also flip the screen sideways while it was up, so it was like a T shape. I saw them using that in their card. I was like, oh, I had one of those.
You know,
I'm also now wondering, does Wabisuke have an iPhone and not a flip phone because he spent most of his time in America?
Oh my fucking god.
Probably. Where these things were decisively less popular.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably what it is.
Also, like, I know, like, specific, I think, like, not like a moment that, like, breaks me, but, like, I guess, like, a really, like, one of the first moments of the movie I always think of is, like, when Natsuki calls Wabisuke after Grandma dies.
Yes.
And, like, you know, he's still trying to, he's like, don't fucking talk to me, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just finally just screams at me, she's dead. Mm-hmm. And he, like, it just cuts to him in his fucking car.
They do a very classic trick where they, like, don't show his eyes when he's, like, beaten like that. And then the moment, like, she tells him that, they show his eyes as he's just looking in shock.
Oh, it's so good. God, this movie is so good.
Because it's like, okay, it's like, because it's like, her dying is basically his fault.
A little bit, yeah. Like, it's mostly the U.S. government's fault, and she was probably on her way out anyway, but...
Indirectly responsible.
Again, even the doctor kind of brings up that it's like, that might have just been her thought. Like, my perspective on that is, again...
Yeah. When I'm not you're saying, like, fuck him entirely for that, but you know what I mean.
When you're on that level, you are on extreme levels of borrow time.
Yeah, it was definitely like, a case of, like...
That was, like... That might have been an extension by a couple of weeks at most.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course, like, Wabisuke feels responsible, because it's like, yeah, you made the AI, yeah, that definitely led to her dying at this moment. So.
I just mean, that's part of probably why he, like, just sitting there like, oh, God.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
Because he has to have probably known she was, like, being monitored super heavily.
And likely the reason she was, like, because they mentioned specifically, like, it was a heart monitor that shows, like, when her heart's going a little out of whack. Something tells me the events of the prior evening where she got really worked up trying to kill him due to him being an asshole probably didn't help that fact.
Didn't
Yeah, and like, and Kenji, and then Kenji just finds her like, get like collapsed.
Yeah, no, she's like literally before the Hanafuda game he plays with her, like she's like my legs aren't like working right now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he probably feels a little responsible for that.
Maybe just a bit. Uh-huh.
Well, Bisuke is probably in, like, his mid-20s, maybe late-20s.
Yeah.
Do you think Bisuke saw our war game and thought Diaboromon was the coolest shit in the world? That's why he made Love Machine.
Actually, I'm now thinking, does the movie take place in 2019? Because, yeah, like...
It does.
No, because Natsuki mentions being born in 1992.
92? I thought she mentioned... No, she mentions her grandmother was born in 1920, and she's turning 99. So, yeah, it's 2019.
Because there's the bit where she's, like, asking him how she's asking Kenji how good Kenji is at math.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks her, like, what date she was born in. She says, a certain date in 92, and then he uses, like, an arithmetic to deduce that she was born on Sunday. She's a high schooler, so I don't think so, no.
But they specifically said she's turning 99 and was born in 1920, which would make this movie take place in 1999, or 2019.
She's turning 90.
Oh, she's turning 90? I thought she said she was turning 99. I apparently misread a line. Whoops.
Okay, now a lot of techniques all more sense.
Yeah, the DSi being the console that was literally out.
Because I you were saying that, and I was like, I kind of just believed you based on, like, the fact that, like, Oz was so advanced, but, like, I was just sitting there, like, something about this doesn't add up. And then I just remembered, like, wait, hang on. Okay, well, we figured that one out.
Ignore every previous comment we've ever made about the movie taking place 10 years after it.
If you make a comment about this, we know you didn't finish the fucking episode.
Yeah. Nobody would. They have to pay to see this. Well, they don't have to pay to see this one, but they're gonna have to pay to see next ones. So, like,
yeah.
Again, this is Patreon exclusive content, by the way.
Definitely.
Yeah, the Patreon we have, it'll be linked in the description.
Yeah.
Yeah. Momo, is there anything else in particular you want to talk about, or any closing thoughts?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. And Bridget, do you have any final thoughts, closing comments?
I mean, like, fuck, dude. Like, I feel like I've said a whole lot during this particular one, more than even usual, probably. Yeah, I mean, I started this out. This is my favorite movie of all time. Even just, like, rewatching it and talking about it here, I'm, like, finding new things about it that I really appreciate. It is such a, like, because it presents itself as such a kind of, like, a straightforward, like, family film. And it is, you know, definitely a family film still. But there are so many cool little layers and, like, little character things to poke at and, like, think about. It's I'll be rewatching this in fucking 6 months and still cry, like, 3 times. It is a fucking immaculate movie. I love it to absolute pieces.
Well, in that case, I guess we'll go ahead and end it here.
And don't you have any final closing statements, Vlad, or?
No.
I guess all I got is, like I said earlier, I guess just to add on to what I said earlier, if you've never seen this movie before, and all you know, I don't know why you're listening to a fucking, basically, discussion about it if you haven't seen it, but,
Yeah, if you've without having seen the movie,
Why? But, like, if all you really know about this is, haha, Hosoda meets our war game again, please do go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it. It's a wonderful movie in every way. And it's very reductive when people say, haha, our war game. Like, I get it. You know, the similarities and everything. Core principles are the same, but also, you know, have serious discussions about it instead. But yeah, all right. We'll see you guys on the next paid content that you have to pay for.
Give me money.
Yay, money.
Where's my fucking salary?